Yeah. All right. I could listen to that. I could listen to that every day for the rest of my life. Yeah, wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, let's see. This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Chorney. I can't wait for Harry to come in. I found this very interesting classified in the paper today. And I want him to look at it, because, might change his life. That's how interesting it is. That's how amazing it is. I'll talk to you about that more later. We're going to be listening to Joel Frankel, Jimmy Durante, De Foreman. We're going to start off with Cab Calloway now. This is a LP that I got hold of in an old record store. I loved Cab Calloway. He was big back in the 40s, and he used to wear the Zoot Suit. Remember the Zoot Suit? You ever see a picture of it? Yeah, he was a wild dude, man. This is Nagasaki.
I'm different, don't mind to drink nothing else but that night. Oh, to bag it into sack it, to be going to whack it. Fat back in turnip greens, hot dogs and turnip greens. Oh, to sack, oh, to whack. Boot, 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 down to booty. I'm to get to mama's. Oh, satch them off, doo, doo, doo. To get your mama, then to get your mama's. Oh, the scoop's got to be this fancy, grassy. I jingle boys, nice folks. I'm taking you to worth the price. You ought to go down to Nagasaki. Ha, ha, them cats are mugging.
That wasn't the 40s. That was done in 1935. It made me suddenly realize I have another version of that song, Nagasaki. It's actually a bit different, but it's the same title. I'm going to be playing that in a little while. Yeah. So, it is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. That was Cab Calloway. As I said, I'm waiting for Harry to come in. I got something to show him. Oh, here he is. Hey, man! Okay, great. Come over here.
Well, what is it, Steve?
Come here.
What?
Look at this. I was perusing through the paper today. I found this very interesting classified.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
These triplets are looking for their long-lost brother so they can become quadruplets again.
So?
Isn't that goofy?
Eh.
Listen to this. We are looking for our long-lost brother who disappeared many years ago. He has distinguishing marks that will show that he is indeed our brother.
Like what?
He's short.
How short?
3'2".
I'm 3'2".
a birthmark or bump on his left shoulder.
Well, that rules me out, Steve. I don't have anything on my left shoulder.
Yeah, but you used to.
What does that mean?
I sanded it down.
When did that happen?
Don't you remember a few months ago I was touching up some places that got chipped and I sanded down the bump on your shoulder?
I thought you were giving me a massage.
With sandpaper?
All right, what else is in that classified?
Has a knot hole on his left elbow.
Oh, my goodness, Steve, look. Look, look! A knot hole!
Well, can you beat that?
Must be a coincidence, Steve. God, I'm sure a lot of people have knot holes on their left elbow.
Oh, sure. Lots of kids who are listening to this program right now have knot holes on their left elbow.
Okay,
maybe they should check it out. Maybe one of our listeners is that long-lost brother or maybe sister.
Good, good. Let them sweat it out. I can rest easy. It's not me.
There's one other thing they mention in this ad.
Well, what's that, Steve?
The person they're looking for is named Harry.
You're kidding.
No.
These are my long-lost brothers.
Well, it would appear so.
Maybe there's a listener who's named Harry and has a knot hole.
I doubt it.
But why are they looking for me now?
Well, it says right here, our Uncle Schmo died last week when he got too close to a belt sander and turned into a pile of sawdust. It saves on cremation charges, but the reading of the will is today.
Uncle Schmo?
Seems you had an Uncle Schmo.
I gotta call that number. Well, what is it?
Well, there's the phone right there. There's the number. It says to ask for Larry, Gary, or Barry. Start calling, Harry.
Okay, let me just get it right here. All right. It's ringing. Hello? Yeah, is Larry there? No. All right, is Gary there? No. Is Barry there? How about Mary? Gary? I'll take anyone! Who am I? I'm Harry! Who's this? Sherry, the secretary? Well, I think I may be their long-lost brother. Yes, yes, I have a knot hole on my elbow. Thank you, I'll wait.
Well, what's happening?
She's getting one of my brothers to come to the phone. Hello? Yeah. Is this Barry? No? How about Gary? No. Larry? Yes, it's Larry! Okay, this is Harry. I may be your long-lost brother. Yes. Yeah, I can come over. All right, give me the address. All right, let me just write it down. Great. All right. I'll be right over. What? Yes, I'm a dummy. Are you? Whew, great, okay. I'll see you in a bit. Bye-bye. Steve, I'm going to go see my family. Hey, well, how come I have three brothers and I didn't know about them?
Well, I remember the woodcarver I bought you from. It made a series of four, but I never did find out who they sold to. You're about to find out. Good luck.
Yeah, Steve, I'll see you soon.
Well, Harry's checking that out. Let's listen to another version of Nagasaki. This one's by Windsor. Let's see, it's an English record I have. Windsor Davis and Don Estelle. Real, this is a cute version. I like this.
Fellas, if you's on, I will spin a yarn that was told to me by Bombardier Jones. Once he had the blues, so he took a cruise. Far away from nightclubs and from saxophones. He said, you knows, I made a certain port. And when you talks about real E-man sport, hot ginger and dynamite. There's nothing but that at night. Back in Nagasaki where the fellas shoot a backy and the women wiki-wacky, woo-ah! The way they can entertain. Would Uri and Hurricane. Back in Nagasaki where the fellas shoot a backy and the women wiki-wacky, woo-ah! On Fujiyama, you get a mama, and then your troubles increase. In Sampagoda, she orders soda, the earth shakes, milkshakes, 10 cents apiece. They kiss his anagis nice. By jingo, it's worth the price. Back in Nagasaki, where the fellas shoot a backy and the women wiki-wacky, woo!
Hot ginger and dynamite. There's nothing but that at night. Back in Nagasaki where the fellas chew tobacco and the women wiki-wacky woo. The way they can entertain would hurry a hurricane. Back in Nagasaki where the fellas chew tobacco and the women wiki-wacky woo. Oh, Fujiyama, you get a mama and then your troubles increase. In some pagoda, she orders soda. The earth shakes, milkshakes, 10 cents apiece. They kissy and huggy nice. By jingo, it's worth the price. Back in Nagasaki, where the fellas chew tobacco and the women wiki-wacky woo.
Hot ginger and dynamite. There's nothing but that at night. Back in Nagasaki, where the fellas chew tobacco and the women wiki-wacky woo. The way they can entertain. Would Ari and Hurricane. back in Nagasaki, where the fellas shoot the backy and the women wiki wacky. Woo! Oh, Fujiyama, you get a mama, and then your troubles increase. She gets a pagoda, she orders soda. The earth shakes, milkshakes, 10 cents apiece. They kissies and huggies nice. Boy, jingle is worth the price. Back in Nagasaki, where the fellas shoot a backy and the women wiki wacky. Woo! Back in Nagasaki, where the fellas shoot a backy and the women wiki wacky. Woo!
This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. It seems Harry has found his three long-lost brothers. They put an ad in the classifieds because his Uncle Schmo died, and, well, there's going to be a reading of the will today. How does someone made of wood die? That's what I want to know. Anyway, Harry's over there now doing a family reunion, and, well, I'll tell you, I'm happy for him. You know, it's always nice to find a long-lost brother, or two, or three. Oh, hey, man, you're back.
Steve, I want to introduce you to my brothers. Here's Gary.
Hi. No, no, I'm not Gary.
Here's Larry.
Why? Oh, wait, hold on a second.
No,
I'm Barry.
I'm Barry.
Hey, man, they sound
What's
just
that?
Like you.
You mean he sounds like us.
This is amazing. One of you is enough to handle, but four?
Anyway, Steve, these guys haven't had a ventriloquist to make them talk for over a year. And, you know, since they're family and all, I thought we could put them in the act with us.
Oh, that's just crazy. I can't have quadruplets. It would be chaos.
We'll be good.
We're funny, too. Yeah.
I can't even tell you apart. You're all exactly alike. No. It's too much.
But, Steve, they're starving. They have no money. I can't turn them out into the street. They're family, man.
Forget it.
Look at those hangdog expressions on their faces. They need love.
What expressions? They're made of wood. Their expressions don't change.
Just try away, you, Steve. Hey, guys, let's everyone get on Steve's knee.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Hey, there's room for everyone.
Don't push me. Hey, this is great.
Stop it. Someone get off my knee. Get at least over on the other knee. You're too heavy.
Wait, I'm okay. Hold on to his neck.
You're a great guy.
Hey, look, guys, I can't even see the script. Someone's got their hand over my eyes.
Sorry.
Who said that?
Me, Barry.
No, I think I'm Barry.
No, I think it was Larry.
Wasn't me.
What am I doing over here?
It wasn't me. Where's Gary?
It definitely wasn't me.
I'm over here next to Harry.
Here I am.
Look, everyone, just be quiet. And don't move.
Sorry.
I have to get my hands in your backs in order to find the controls that work your mouths. Okay, wait. I think I have Larry's.
Wait, I'm Barry.
I'm sorry, Barry's. And there's Gary's.
Well, I'm Larry.
Sorry, Larry's. I only have two hands. I'm going to have to use my feet to work Harry and Gary's controls.
Not your feet, Steve. They stink.
Hey, you don't like it? Get off me.
All right.
Hey.
Wait, I got one in Gary's back. And Harry, move a little bit so I can slip the other one behind you.
Okay.
There we go. I feel like I'm playing Twister here.
I think my arm's falling asleep.
I'm starting to slip.
Just calm down, everyone. You think this is easy? Now, I'm going to ask some riddles, and we'll see if this can work or not.
Sure. Between us, we know the answer to every riddle ever told.
Why do hens lay eggs?
Okay, all together, everyone.
If they drop them, they break.
Wow, you guys work well together. Why do seagulls live near the sea?
Because if they live near the bay, they'd be bagels.
What do you get when you cross a parrot with a centipede?
A walkie-talkie.
What has four legs and an arm?
A happy pit bull.
What do you get when giraffes collide?
A traffic jam.
You guys work well together, man. It's getting heavy having you all on my knees, though.
Sorry.
Hey, whoops.
Them's the brakes.
I can't do anything.
Can't you get them off me, man?
Steve, this is family. They need work. I can't turn my back on them.
They should have their own ventriloquists.
You know how hard it is for ventriloquists to find work nowadays? You're a success story, Steve. But a lot of these dummies are being cast aside. Relegated to pawn shops. I've got to help my bros.
How do you train King Kong?
Hit him with a roll-up newspaper building.
You guys are good.
We've been well trained.
Why is turtle wax so expensive?
Because their ears are so small.
Wait a second, I just thought of something. Don't you guys have an appointment?
Holy cow!
Absolutely!
The reading of Uncle Schmo's will!
I gotta go, man!
Thanks, Steve!
Thank you very much!
Well, good luck, boys. Oh, man, I can't believe I'm gonna be working with four dummies from now on. It's too much. And I don't believe they've been out of work that long. They're too fat.
Does Umbriago know anything about concert music?
Oh, to be sure. He supplies Fritz Keisler with all his G-strings. Not to mention Gypsy Rose Lee. know, Miss Stevens, he even trained my voice. Listen to the dulcet tunes. Candy, I call my sugar candy. I don't know why I call her candy. She looks more like one meatball.
James, you've got a beautiful voice.
And that was only on one tonsil. You should hear me when I throw it at the second.
You know, I'm giving a series of open-air concerts, and I'd like you to sing with me. Have you ever sung in the open?
My family wouldn't let me sing anywhere else. Very strict, you know.
Well, my first concert is in Hollywood. Would you care to join me in the bowl?
Yes, if you take the cornflakes out first.
Jimmy, you've just been stringing me along. And I don't even think you're interested in the higher things in music.
Dear lady, I don't know what to say. I'm nonplussed. And that's the second time today my nun has been plussed. Now, Miss Stevens, let me tell you a story. Seeking my favorite diversion last night and feeling in the pink, I steps into my plush upholstered hansom. With my two footmen commanding the poop deck and my Arabian steeds going at a gentle trot, we approach the theater marquee, and what happens? The red carpet is rolled out. My two footmen descend from the poop deck. They open the door, and I steps out. Looking up from the gutter, I said, who told you to remove the running board? Picking myself up and ignoring the stares of the hoi polloi, I makes my entrance gallantly into the diamond horseshoe, removing my top hat, my nylon gloves, my skunk muffler, and my patent leather goulashes with the neon buttons. I looks around. Mrs. Van Scaller is whispering to Mrs. Murray Hill. Mrs. Murray Hill is whispering to Mrs. Susquehanna, and what are they saying? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it Superman? No, they shouted, it's a bum. You see, a vicious rumor has been circulated. Just because I work in a saloon, they say I'm not fit to mingle in any other circle. That's ridiculous. Nightclubs are just the Mr. Hyde part of me. You have yet to meet the Dr. Jekyll. I'm Durante, the patron of the arts, an opera critic, and a man of parts. Last week I went to the opera. I loved it. All but one scene. That's where the 350-pound soprano sings to the baritone. She sings, take me in your arms and hold me close. Where the hole are close, the bum would have to be curved like a banana. Those opera lovers, all rave at Handel's Largo. I heard better music written by Umbriaco. Now, what I say may sound absurd, but believe me, it's true. I've seen every opera, and I'll name them for you. Tales of the Vienna Rules, Madame Buttermilk, The Sextet from Lychee Nuts, and The Quartet from Rigor Mortis. I coach sopranos and tenors in their parts, 'cause I'm Durante, the patron of the arts. Now, just the other day, they held a meeting at the Metropolitan in the cellar. They said, Durante, we're in a hole. You got to help us out. Stepping up on a soapbox left over from Rigoletto, I said, gentlemen, let's analyze this. Now, take Romeo and Juliet. Romeo has to leave Juliet. But does he say, shoo-shoo, baby? No. In opera, he says, I have but a moment to spend with you. A moment, my dear, to spend with you. A moment, my spend, a moment to spend. A moment, 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 a moment. He's got one moment to spend, and he's taken 3 hours to tell her about it. Why, that bum is making a federal case out of it. Then she says, I will give you a kiss, my love, a burning kiss upon the lips. A burning kiss, a kiss, a kiss upon the lips. A burning kiss, a kiss, a kiss, a kiss, a kiss upon the lips. A burning kiss. By the time he's ready to kiss her, the fire is out. So I said, gentlemen, to save the opera, get yourself new lyrics that have style and renown. Like Pistol Pack and Mama, lay that pistol down. They all gave thanks from the bottom of their hearts to Durante, the patron of the arts. A commissura, Durante, the patron of the arts.
Yeah, there we go, Jimmy Durante. That's on Natasha Imports. They're actually out of Margaretville, New York. September Song is the name of the CD. A lot of really fine music on this. Love Jimmy Durante. Well, Harry has gone with his brothers, Barry, Larry, and Gary, to read the reading of Uncle Schmo's will, see what they inherited. And he left me here all by myself. But it might be a good time to tell you how to take a tiger for a walk. No, might be something that you might find useful someday. Tigers really are as big and puffy and soft as they look, and they purr like a freight train going by. And you find this out by taking one for a walk. To take a tiger for a walk, you first need a tiger. Tigers fresh from the bush are not recommended for the inexperienced. What you need is one who's used to the procedure. He or she is thus liable to be merely playful rather than actively irritated. And, well, you also need a friend whom you really, really trust. Friend carries an apple wood cane, apple or some other wood which will bend under stress rather than shattering, and this friend is your backup, and the cane is his or her only tool for everything from knocking stuff out of the way that the tiger is liable to eat, to crowd control, to hooking on and madly hanging on if things go wrong. What you carry is a 10-foot length of pass-link chain. This is your leash. Pass-link chain is the stuff where the links will fit through each other. This is important. You need this so you can hook on a safety clip. The chain is looped about the tiger's neck and acts as a giant choke chain. But the clip is there to keep a loop of some sort in case things go badly wrong. And you carry the chain looped in one hand in a peculiar fashion, which permits the whole length of chain to be dragged from your hand without taking your hand and or arm with it. And you practice this beforehand till you're sure you've got it right. Then you go into the cage with the tiger. Your friend doesn't, okay? You gauge the tiger's mood, and you put the leash on the tiger. Now, there isn't a whole lot more to say about this step, except to say that this is why your friend is there outside the cage. On your side is the fact that the tiger knows what the leash is for by this time, and presumably is largely in favor of the idea. This is where you find out the tigers are really soft and puffy. They're also much, much larger than you had ever dreamed when you're standing next to one. Then you take the tiger for a walk. Your friend walks in front with a cane, to clear the way, and you walk with the tiger at your side, keeping pretty good control and letting the tiger know that you're paying attention, because if the tiger thinks you're not paying attention, well, it'll do what house cats do, let you know that you should be paying attention. Unlike house cats, the tiger is big enough not to have to do anything truly outrageous to rectify the situation. Reaching behind you with one forepaw and sweeping your legs out from under you is generally considered good enough by most tigers. They think this is hilarious. To this extent, tigers differ from house cats in that they seem to have a sense of humor. It is possible that the tiger will see something that it wants, and in this case, the tiger will go where it wants to go, and your job is to stop it. And this is generally done by wrapping the chain around something that you pass as the tiger drags you away. This will slow it down enough for your friend to jump on top of you and grab the chain as you go bulleting across the countryside. The weight of two adult humans will generally slow a tiger down enough to make things manageable, whereas one will not. It's not unusual, by the way, for the tiger to react to freedom by turning around and turning you into fajitas, though this would actually, at least in the short term, be an eminently practical thing for the tiger to do. They enjoy their fun, but are generally not ill-tempered. If they are, they don't get taken for walks. They also purr like a freight train passing, man. Experts in the field claim that this is not purring, that it means something else, but you couldn't put it by me. Sure sounded like purring at 16 two-thirds RPM, but it sounded like purring. Well, all in all, an experience I highly recommend as a lifetime source of cocktail party conversation, but it sort of tends to leave you limp for the rest of the day.
I'm gonna tie a string to the door. I just can't take it no more. Gonna get out the pliers, that's the truth. And I'll say so long, you old two, so long.
So long.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And I'll get a dollar by and by.
Yes.
I'm gonna bite an apple in two. I just don't know what to do. Gonna get out my dynamite, that's the truth. And I'll say so long, you old two, so long.
So long.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And I'll get a dollar by and by.
Yes!
little short one by Greg Brown from a CD called Bathtub Blues on Red House Records. This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Harry has found his three long-lost brothers, Gary, Barry, and Larry. They went to the reading of Uncle Schmo's will. Another dummy who unfortunately met his demise when he got too close to a belt sander. Well, they've been out of work, and it looks like I've suddenly gotten three new partners in the comedy act, man. I mean, how can you say no to family? Harry's family, that is. And, hey, Harry, how did it go, man? You are a hare, right?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, Barry, Gary, and Larry sound just like you.
Oh, we're completely different, Steve. I have the knot hole on my elbow, remember?
Sure, sure. So what happened to the reading of the will? And where are your brothers, man? I thought they were part of the act now.
Guess what? Schmo was wealthy. We each inherited $10,000.
That's incredible.
Here's the check, Steve.
Where are your brothers?
What, you think they're going to work themselves to the bone for you when they have $10,000?
I suppose not. Hey, this is a real check.
So I'm leaving you.
What do you mean?
I don't have to work anymore. I'm going to hang out with them.
Of course you have to work.
But I have $10,000!
Harry, this is going in your college fund. You're just a kid.
I'm a dummy.
And what, are you going to be a dummy your whole life? You have to go to college, and as your legal guardian, I'm putting my foot down on this.
Oh, Steve, I was going to go out and buy 20,000 candy bars with it.
You know, you really are a dummy.
Is produced at the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show's written and produced by me, Steve Charney, at stevecharney.com. That sends videos, Larry and myself, as well as jokes, email address, info about our live speeches, and more. And if you visit wkxc.org, click on archives, and type in Knock on Wood, you can listen to previous Knock on Wood programs. Take it out,
It's time to go.